If you have your Bibles, would you find them and would you turn to Job? One aspect of John, or at least one aspect of John that has not been mentioned that it's my privilege to tell you about, John was a prayer warrior. John truly believed in the power of prayer. John would often, consistently, faithfully ask me what he could pray about. And oftentimes I would tell him, pray for Austin. And then he would ask, what about with specificity? And I would share with him in confidence, fully knowing that John was not a gossip, what he could pray about. And one of the ways you know that someone is a prayer warrior is when 3 weeks later they come back to you and say, now what's going on with that situation? And oftentimes you'd actually forgotten that you shared that with him, but he had not forgotten. John was so faithful, as Steve mentioned, and if David McManus was here, he would mention it. If Bill Sturm was here, he would mention it. And if Dwayne Smith was here, he would mention it. John was one of those people that actually paid attention when you preached. He listened to the words that were said, and he would thoughtfully interact with what you were saying. John taught himself as a flight instructor, and it enjoyed the mechanism of teaching and instruction, and he truly wanted to grow as a Christian. So tonight, John would expect that I actually preach and not just share a 10-minute devotion. He would expect that the Word of God would be read and exalted. And I want to read from Job chapter 14. It's quite the language. The story of Job is familiar to us. We know that Job loses all. And in spite of this amazing suffering that Job experiences, he remains true to the one true God. The transparency of a man that's suffering is bore out in this incredibly poetic language that we read. In verse number one, man is born of a woman, is of a few days and full of trouble. And the longer you live and the more you live in this fallen world, the greater degree to which you see the truth of what Job wrote, as he says, really our life is just but a few days, and oftentimes it is full of trouble. We know that cancer got a hold of John's body, and Tina and I both said to each other that I had no idea that when John missed that first Sunday that that would actually be his last Sunday. And Hugh Jared said to me this morning that I had been praying and praying that John would be back in a service, and tonight he's back. John lost his appetite. And when you stop eating and drinking, your body cannot survive. Verse number two says, he comes forth like a flower, cut down, flees as a shadow, and continues not. Some other translations describe this flower and grass relationship and use the word wither in verse number two. And quite frankly, that's what happened to John's body. And it was just sad to see him in that state. But today we rejoice. Today we rejoice in the reality that John is not with us. There is a body inside that casket, but we know that John is not with us. Doth thou open thy eyes upon the one and bringeth into judgment with thee? Who, in verse number two, Job asks, can make, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And Job answers, not one. From a human perspective, none of us can do that. Only God can cleanse what is unclean. That's the story of the Bible. That's the story of John's life. In the year 2005, God made him clean. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, the stalk, referring to the contents of the tree, dies in the ground, yet though a scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dies in verse 10 and wastes away. Yea, man gives up the ghost, and where is he? I want to remind you tonight that Job is one of the earliest books written of our Bible. Job had not met the Lord Jesus Christ, had not met the Apostle Paul. Job had never met the prophet Daniel. He'd never heard the gospel of Paul. And so he asked the question, where is he? But we will answer that question tonight. As the waters fail from the sea and the flood decays and dries up, so man lies down and rises not until the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in a secret place until thy wrath be past. Thou wouldest appoint me at set time. And Job asked, remember me, Lord. And then we read this question in verse 14 that will direct our thoughts. If a man die, shall he live again? Let's pray. Lord, we know the answer to Job's two questions. We know the answer to question number one. We know the answer to the question that asks, if a man die, shall he live again? We know the answer to the question, if a man dies, where is he? Lord, you did not leave us without answers. You gave us answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I believe that the Lord directed me to Job 4:14, I thought for sure that the text that I would preach from for John's funeral comes from 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. I'll read it to you, and then I'll go back and answer the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? But we hear from the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 9, 6, 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the swindlers, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then we hear these words. Verse number 11, it is an amazing sentence. And Paul says this, listen to it very closely. And such were some of you. That's John's life. That right there is John's life. In 2005, God got a hold of him. God changed that airman. God changed that man. And John had that testimony. That was my former life. Such were some of you. And then Paul continues and says, but you were washed. That washing takes me all the way back to Job's text where he says, is it possible for something clean to come out of an unclean? And the answer is it's not. From a human perspective, we can't make ourselves clean enough. We can't. And this is why the Bible over and over and over again uses the idea of our salvation as a cleansing event. Washed. Made clean. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and some of you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what God did to John. And so when we ask this question and we hear this question, he asks it. Job asks it. We understand why he's asking it. He's suffering. And he asks the question, if a man dies, if a man or a woman dies, shall he live again? And I would tell you that the Bible unequivocally answers that question. And the answer is yes. The prophet Daniel says, many of those who sleep in dusty ground will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting judgment. In Matthew 22, verses 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus Christ answers the question. He says, as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the living. And tonight we can add John's name to that. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. And he's the God of John. And John would ask me to ask you tonight, will you be part of that resurrection of the living? Some of you are Air Force friends. I will not presume for a moment that you're saved just because you're here. Do you know Jesus? John chapter number 5, Jesus says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all those who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. They're going to come out of the tombs. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Make no mistake about it. We are not saying in any way, shape, or form that John is being resurrected in life because of the good things he did. That is not what we are saying in any way, shape, or form. What we are saying is that we are confident that he was truly born again because it manifested itself in good things. The testimony that Kathy gave, his generosity was overwhelming. Anytime there was a need in the church, anytime something was going on, camp sponsorships, men's retreat, anything, what do you need? Anytime we were doing a fundraiser, how are we doing on that? John loved this church. He loved the body of Christ. He had a love for not only the people, but the actual structures he wanted it taken care of well. If the bushes got too long up front, he would let me know. He paid attention to those details and wanted his church to look nice. He wanted things done right. We're not saying that all that adds up and makes John a good person, and because he's a good person, he gets to go to heaven. What we're saying is because he was washed, he was sanctified, he was cleansed, he was justified, that produced a changed life that manifests itself in a different person. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one's able to snatch them out of my hand. In John chapter number 11, 25, 26, and 27, we read these incredible words. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The Net Bible, and you're familiar that we use the Net Bible some around here because of its incredible notes on the Greek and the Hebrew, says that the actual text is will never die forever. Because you say to me, yeah, he died. See, Pastor Sean, he died. And we say to you, don't you understand that we have an incredible hope? Jesus said to Martha, after saying, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus looks to Martha and says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. Tonight, do you believe that? Is that your testimony? I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Are you trusting in him and him alone for your salvation? We're not talking about his baptism. We're not talking about being a prayer warrior. We're not talking about listening to good preaching. We're not talking about giving preachers feedback. We're not talking about working Bible school. Those are all wonderful things, and we are so thankful. We're not talking about being an amazing dad. That's not what we're talking about. That doesn't cleanse you from your sin. Jesus didn't ask Martha, are you going to keep doing good works? He said, what do you believe? What do you believe? And she said, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 14, 1 through 10, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where there you are, I'll be with you and you'll be with me. The Apostle Paul speaks to this idea of the resurrection. Acts chapter 17, verse 18, the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers are conversing with Paul. They're arguing with Paul. Some say he's preaching this babbler. Others say he seems to be a preacher of foreign deities. And why? Because he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. Church, all you that are here with Brian, all you that are part of the body of Christ everywhere, no chapter in your Bible is more important than 1 Corinthians 15 when it comes to the resurrection. No chapter is more important. If you have any doubts about what we're preaching about tonight, if you're on a path and you need to know Jesus, if you're struggling with who Jesus is and this whole idea of a resurrection from the dead, if you're sitting there with doubts in your seat right now, I would suggest to you that you would get a copy of the Bible and start reading 1 Corinthians 15 over and over and over and over again. Start with verse number 1 and don't stop. Paul says in verse number 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is empty. It's in vain. It's useless. Go home. We are even found to be misrepresenting God. I'm a liar. Because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they're perished. Verse 19, he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. We're most miserable. Folks, we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a body inside here, but the man, John William Bolt, is not here. He's not here. All of what we believe is resting on that doctrine right there. If that's not true, we have nothing to live for. Vacation Bible school, preaching God's word, prayer, all that is for naught. We are of all men most to be pitied. We're most miserable. This is it. The resurrection of the dead is the linchpin of all of Christianity. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then we have no hope of a resurrection. And if we have no hope of a resurrection, then what is the point? Job wanted the question answered. Job's question was very clear. He wanted the question answered. His question was, if a man dies, shall he live again? Sherry, Tina, Charlie, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Paul says, you foolish person. If you sow does not come to life until it dies, what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps a wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he's chosen. And to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. Someone says, well, John's body's here. John's body's here. It's not up there. It's right here. We've got it right here. It's in this box. We're going to put it in the grave tomorrow at Sand Hills. And Paul would say, you're exactly right. That's his natural body, and that's his natural body. And someday, God's going to give him a glorified body. And Paul would say to you, look at any seed. Look at anything you plant in the ground. Job's analogy that he uses in our text that we read, there is hope for a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. And all of you know that if you've ever worked outside, if you take a tree in your yard and you just cut it off a foot or so above the ground, next year, you're going to see some stuff coming out of that tree because there is a root system and there is life there. And that is the analogy that Paul is using here. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is not one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, one of the stars, and they differ. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. If it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. If it is sown in weakness, yes, in weakness, we saw John at his weakest state. It was sad. It was pitiful. I'm so glad that I swung by there to stop by and say how he was doing. Charlie, you were there and you were doing a great job. Praise God for people who take care of people when they're dying. And his body was perishing. But our hope today is that there is an imperishable body that he will receive one day. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. I need to ask you very pointedly tonight, God may have brought you to this auditorium for this very purpose. Today could be your day of salvation, and I will not relent in my pursuit of your salvation tonight. Amen. The we is a plural pronoun, and it only includes those who've been born from above. Just because you're sitting here tonight doesn't mean that you will be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry. The voice of an archangel will sound in the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Yes. You have to be in Christ to be part of this resurrection. If you are not in Christ, you're not part of this resurrection. So you say, Pastor Sean, how do I get in Christ? You believe. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this earth as a human being, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross to atone for the sins of humanity. You put your whole full trust in that very truth. That's how you get saved. What about soul sleep, Pastor Sean? What about soul sleep? 2 Corinthians 5:8 answers that question. Yes, we are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. If you have a King James Bible, it will say present with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, Dr. Wilson made reference to this very text. Paul said, I am hard pressed between the two, The King James language is that betwixt. We don't use that word very often. B-E-T-W-I-X-T. Betwixt. I'm pressed between the two, Paul says. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. This is why we would say to you, John is not here. John is not in a state of soul sleep awaiting the resurrection. The only thing that's waiting the resurrection is his body. So we looked at what the prophet Daniel said. We looked at what the Lord Jesus Christ said. We looked at what the apostle Paul said. And now I read to you from the apostle John, Revelation 20, 12 and 13. And I saw the dead and great standing before the throne, and books were opened. There was another book opened, which is the book of life. Do you understand that tonight your name is either in the book of life or it's in one of the other books? Every one of you. You don't get to decide. I don't want my name in any book. Don't put my name in there. You don't get to opt out. It's not an 800 number that you call and decide you don't want to participate in. You're either in the book of life or you're in the other books. How does it work, Pastor Sean? Well, he makes it very clear. Those that are in the book of life get to participate in the resurrection of eternal life. Those that are in the other books, their lives are judged out of those books. You will not say tonight, I never knew. You will not say, I didn't know Jesus died for my sins. You will not say, I didn't know I needed to live by faith. You will not say, I didn't know there was a book of life. Wow. Do I get a do-over? No. No. Say, why are you preaching like this? Because this is the kind of preaching John loved. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How do you know that? Because for the last 12 years, John was consistently here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, in his place, taking the count, delivering the information, and like Dr. Wilson said, letting you know if you missed something. If there was a spelling issue on one of my slides, John got it every time. And he would tell me, you probably need to fix that. Yeah, John, you're right. I probably need to fix that. Yeah. Well, that's fun. We enjoy that. But the reason John enjoyed the preaching of God's word is because God made him a new creature in Christ. And he believed in the truth of this book. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up those dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Let me tell you right now, you don't want to be judged according to what you've done. You don't want to be judged according to what's... Don't risk it. Job said, can anything clean come out of what's unclean? And the answer to that question is no. No, it can't. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all unrighteousness tonight. You say, how do I get a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. If I'd have thought about it, Tina, I would have got the ladder out tonight. Because John loved the ladder illustration. And I would have said, get on the ladder of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation tonight. So what do I have to do to be saved? You have to believe that truth. Let's pray. God Almighty, if there's someone here that you've brought into this assembly for their day of salvation, we pray, God, that you would give them the faith to believe the gospel. We pray that they would commit their heart, mind, and soul to these truths. I pray, oh God, that if you've brought someone into our assembly that's just as lost as a goose, that they would have trouble sleeping tonight. I don't want someone to have a good night's rest if they're not saved. I want them, oh God, to be plagued with the reality that there is a coming and impending judgment. That there is a resurrection of the of the righteous and the unrighteous. That there are books that are being written, and they need their name in the book of life. God, I pray that you would give them a vision, that you would give them a dream, that you would give them difficulty sleeping tonight, that they toss and turn from one end of the mattress to the other, that they wake up in the morning contemplating the words of this preacher. Can anything clean come out of what's unclean? Job would say, no one can do that. And we would agree, save the Lord Jesus Christ. God, if we have anyone in our assembly that's not here tonight who's born again, give them, oh God, we pray, the faith to believe the gospel. This is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.